But in this service, the choir sang a beautiful song about the people being in the upper room, one accord, and the fire fell, and they were never the same. Jerusalem was never the same. Samaria was never the same. The world was never the same. Heaven has never quite been the same. Because God, true to his character, kept his word and said, I'm not going to leave you without help. Not only am I going to give you help by sending the Holy Spirit, but I am going to make you witnesses to the fact that Jesus lives, so that when people see you and feel the warmth, the outraying of that life and that love of Jesus, they will know that Jesus is alive. So from your life and from your lips will go out the message, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the reason why in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall be witnesses. And heavy on that word, be. Because there are so many people today who are saying, well, God is just saying you should learn how to witness. There's a lot of difference between learning how to witness and being a witness. When you are a witness, you are literally letting the world know that Jesus is alive. You're witnesses of his life. You don't have to turn very far in the book of Acts to find out what kind of witnesses they were. Every place where you find the word witness, following this one promise that Jesus gave, you'll find it in connection with Jesus' resurrection. Great power gave his disciples witness to the fact that Jesus was alive. And again, when Peter was giving his first message after that man at the beautiful gate was healed, he said, don't look on us like as though we by our own power or holiness made this man well. No. He said, but Jesus, the one that you killed, is around again. And we are witnesses of these things. God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. So a fire started on that day. The fire fell, and no one was ever the same. I just love that combination of songs, the message there. In fact, the choir preached my message. I'm just going to have to kind of repeat a little bit of the choir without the music here. Get ready. Get ready. Because God had a plan not only to give people an experience, but that great plan of his was unfolded. Hallelujah. And that message they went out with, that, as we said, the message of the fact that Jesus was alive. Would you like to turn in your Bibles to this spot? We're going to pick out just a few verses here. Acts, the second chapter. I'm going to read the first four verses here. A little bit of background on this fire. If the Idaho Statesman would have been around and sent out a reporter, they would have been able to fill a whole newspaper with what they saw there taking place. But they weren't around, but we did have some divine beings making sure that the word that was reported for all ages was true and it was accurate. And here it is. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them
cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Oh, hallelujah. It didn't stop here, but this was a wonderful beginning for what took place. Now, there are a lot of people who say, if you take this literally, it's going to do violence to our theology. So we must find some symbolic means for this. And so they have. One of them that I thought was the most amusing was that God would choose to perform a miracle on the unsaved instead of on his own children. And all of those people, they said it was too difficult, too hard to accept the fact that God would intellectually or in some way cause 120 people to have to change their language and their understanding and start speaking in another language. This would be too difficult of a thing for God to do. So they said, we can't accept that. You're making it too hard for God. So they said, here's the simple explanation of this. Though that throng of people, possibly 10, maybe 15,000 people that heard them, if 3,000 people of them were saved, they weren't all saved, there would have to be a great crowd of people there. So what he said was that these people from all of these different nations that were mentioned there, that God, it was too hard to work with 120 of his own people. So he picked about 15,000 foreigners that couldn't understand the Jewish language, and he conditioned their ears so that they all heard them speak, that people were not really talking in tongues. Not those 120. No, they were just speaking in their usual Palestinian language. But God went to work on the ears of all those 15,000 people. And he did a little work on one, so they would hear the same sounding like Mesopotamian. And he'd work on another one. They heard the same sound, but sound like something else. You know, when people start taking away or trying to degrade the word or trying to twist the word to support some little position, they make it a lot harder to believe than the way it is. Isn't that right? A lot harder to believe. So this we can take it just the way he says it here. A great thing happened. God began something very, very special. I wonder how many of you here really believe that God caused this great event to take place on the day of Pentecost. Let me see your hands. Everybody that really believes it. Well, most of you believe it. The rest of you just haven't quite figured out how to relate to it yet. But you know that it's here in the Word of God. You know that God promised it. He had to be the one that did it. A great fire began. And you know what happened when that fire was burning? The next day, 3,000 people turned their lives over to God. You know why? There were a lot of little fires burning. 120 fires started walking around. And they started kindling and causing to burn. You know, there's a lot of people that are afraid of some of these real dry denominations and dry experiences. Don't be afraid of them. Just get close to them with a little fire. And watch what happens. And this is what's taking place in the Catholic Church, Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church. I'm not saying they're all dry, but there was enough tinder there to where when God beamed his life, the fires broke out. Hallelujah. Something very special happened. Now, I want you to notice just a little further here as we read. I'm not going into the entire story here, but I like what Peter had to say in Acts, the second chapter. Beginning with verse 14, a lot of the people thought they had drunk too much. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, what a message that these burning lives had to take out. Praise God. They spoke of what was happening here. And then verse 32 and 33 of this chapter, Peter came to the conclusion. He said, "You're wondering what's happened. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses of his life." He's raised up. We're witnesses that Jesus is alive, and therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Praise God. Beautiful, beautiful picture of what God has accomplished. And then he goes on to say in verse 37 and 38, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Oh, hallelujah. I was last night and this morning, I was going through the book of Acts, watching and looking for the different places where the fire of God was kindled. These disciples gathered together in one place. And God said, "This isn't my plan. The world must hear and know." So there was persecution that came, and it was like a gasoline being poured or something dropping in the fire, and the sparks flew everywhere. And wherever those disciples went, fire broke out. Hallelujah. And the word of God went out. I think of the fire that broke out in Ethiopia as this Ethiopian went back with the gospel. Every place they went, their fires were burning. Hallelujah. The world experienced a flame from God's heart. Now, there are two kinds of flames that people are going to experience, one kind or another. They're going to see the flame of God's glory reflected and outraged from believers' lives and from God's heart. Or there will come a time when they will experience the flame and the fire of judgment. But in this day, what judgment is being withheld. Now, in that early church, Peter and John went up into the temple. You remember the story. And they were so burning. They said to this crippled man, they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we unto you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." We heard that song this morning. It was because the fire was burning in their lives. Because Jesus was alive. I think of Stephen. As he was full of faith and power, he was a burning fire and went out to serve the Lord. You read this in the sixth chapter. And, when the Lord works, when the fire burns, it was burning all over the country. People began to try to put the fire out with whatever they had, whatever they could. They would attack. They would. Some of their people would do the same thing as they're doing today. They look at what God is doing and they say, well, this really isn't scriptural. Now, he isn't supposed to do this. Well, they didn't invent that. Some of them think that they had a new idea by saying what God is doing is unscriptural. Listen to what happened here with Stephen, 6th chapter, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose of the synagogue, this which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They said, we cannot really get you in a corner by looking at the truth. So let's try some other way. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him. He was in fellowship with the Lord. Look at what they saw. They saw his face begin to glow. They saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Hallelujah. Philip didn't begin to bemoan that. What seemed to be a tremendous minus. He was caught. He was tied up. Now, he said, God has shown me how to make opportunities out of my minuses, out of my problems. So what did he do? He preached the hottest sermon to those people they ever heard in their life. In fact, one of the strongest sermons that you can find in the whole Bible is found right here in these two chapters where he's talking to them. Well, he really told them about Jesus. He preached Christ to them. And then he threw out the challenge to them. What are you going to do? God cares for you. And I love the way that he spoke to them. And told them that God would forgive them by accepting him. When I make reference to people doing the same thing, they don't feel that I'm saying ouch, because nothing has really struck me yet. But Paul Crouch was telling me that he had a letter that his wife looked at a little bit of. He refused to look at it. But said it was a very derogatory letter from a certain person that wrote letters to the 700 Club and to the Booksellers Convention and other places wanting to stop this book. But he said, I asked Paul, what did you do with the letter? He said, I refused to read it. He said, I know you. I feel your heart, your spirit. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me anything about you. I know. Praise God. I thought that was a beautiful thing for him. He said, I haven't read it, and I don't plan on reading that letter. Praise God. Hallelujah. But there will be people, and this letter evidently, and some of the others that I've heard about, are saying the very same things that were said here. He's teaching some things that might not quite support or fit what we have graciously accepted and embraced for a long time.
thank God, something is happening.
That first experience the Lord gave me, I'm going to make reference to this when he took me into the throne room and revealed to me, let me see what God was really like. You know what? What I was doing at that particular time, and with regard to my study of the Word and the way the Spirit was leading me, God was by His Word, by His Spirit, directing me in the Word to messages about what God was like. I had a series of four messages on a portrait of God, and I had given two of these messages at the time that the Lord took me up and said, "Okay, I'm going to really show you what I'm like." Since you are interested in what I'm like, I'm going to show you. I gave the other two messages after that experience. But it wasn't something that was contrary or something that was new. I knew what he's like. I know we can trust him. I know what his purpose is. I know that he loves you. Hallelujah. And I know how he feels about people. Because of this, I have a greater love in my heart for people than I have ever had in my life, because I feel that God has somehow poured into my heart some of that love that I sensed that he had for people. Hallelujah. Then when I had that experience on June the 18th of last year, I had preached two messages on the families, on what God desires to do with the families and his love for families. And that first experience, when I felt those giant hands on my shoulder sitting me up in bed, that first night, after he had calmed my fears and said, "Fear not," then he said, "God is pleased because of your concern for families and the messages that you have brought." And so he has shown you and has brought you a message. And he added then to the truths that I had, turning on a beautiful light, illuminating things that I had never dreamed of before. I didn't realize that if just one member of the family were saved, that every member was so highly favored by God. I didn't realize that God was doing a quick work and could use angelic beings as our allies from heaven to work with us. But God let me see all of this. And he added verses, and they burned into my heart and my mind. Hallelujah. It isn't something that is new. I already knew of the sacrifice of Jesus. It meant a whole lot to me, but I didn't know the depths of it until God allowed me to see that living panorama of truth. And I could see Jesus not only dying for us physically, because physically we still have to die. It's appointed, and a man wants to die. Either die or be changed and resurrected or raptured. But he allowed me to see him tasting the second death, taking upon himself the punishment, the judgment for our sins. And you read in Isaiah 53 that he shall see the travail of his soul. And it pleased God to bruise him. God himself, by the stroke of his judgment, put him to grief. But as Jesus went into the very jaws of the second death, and tasted the judgment of God, a new race was born. The Word tells us he shall see the travail of his soul. When his soul travailed, a new race was born. Not Jews, not Greeks, not Gentiles, but it's you and me. People from all over the world are born into the big family of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a clap offering for that? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This was something that God allowed me to see. Now, I had, as I said, glimpses of these truths, and I'd shared them
But it took an extraordinary move in God's big plan to make it possible for me to take these truths that God was stirring around in my heart and share them to the world. I didn't know how he was going to do it. I didn't know really what would come. But I want you to know, 1 year later, these truths are circling the globe, and people's lives are being set free. And little fires, because the Spirit is giving, is accompanying those words of life. They come from God's heart. I did not initiate those messages. God did. And that's why he's giving them life. And fires are breaking out around the world. Praise the name of the Lord. God is doing something so special. Some might say, well, is it just because Jesus is coming? I don't know for sure when he is coming. But I do know this, that this generation needs to know God's position, God's love for them. Whatever the future holds, we'll be prepared to live as much as we'd be prepared to go by knowing what Jesus is doing for us. We're not lost. We're not sold short even if he delayed his coming. I don't believe it will. We're not going to be sold short, because what God is putting within our hearts gives us something to live. We know that he's there. We can live an abundant, overcoming life because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. I had a beautiful young couple in my office yesterday who felt a stirring. They listened to PTL. And in calling the PTL office over in Charlotte, they directed them from Moscow, Idaho, right here to Boise. And we had a chance to talk and pray. I know they were not there by accident, but this couple said that we're going back and we're going to start some little fires. Hallelujah. Up where they live in Moscow, Idaho, in a very fine church, but a church that needs the kindling of the spark of God's Holy Spirit. I wonder if Dave Stockton and his wife are in that building this morning. If you are, would you stand up? Why don't you stand up? Let these people praise God. Hallelujah. You're going back with that to light a few fires there, aren't you, Dave? Praise God. Hallelujah. God's on the job. Hallelujah. Here's a man right over here. Came up to me after the early service, and he said, I'm going back to Wisconsin. I'm going to light some fires. You told me that, didn't you, sir? Why don't you stand up and wave at the people? Praise God. Hallelujah. I had a call last night. It was about 11 o'clock here. There was a family that was so turned on, they called the parsonage, I think it was about three times. They tried so hard to get me, and somehow or other, my wife gave me the number to call them, but they wanted to call so rapidly that when I dialed their number, it was a busy signal. What it was, they were trying to dial me, so then they called back over to the house. They really wanted to get a hold. When they finally got a hold of me, this man was so excited. Oh, he said, I love God so much. He said, my wife has just read part of that book to me. And he said, something happened in my heart here a couple of hours ago. He said, I am not the same. I just wanted you to know all about this. And she was on the other line, see, the extension line. And she said, Pastor Buck, will this make my husband different than he's been? I said, well, how has he been? Well, she said, I just recently gave my heart to the Lord. I think she said 2 weeks ago. But she said that he didn't want her to play gospel records or turn on the radio or the television, any type of gospel program. He said, I don't want any of that stuff around here. This is what she told me, and he was listening. And she said, you suppose he'll be different? He said, you know I'll be different. He said, I'll listen more than you do now. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, somebody gave his wife the book after she gave her heart to the Lord. and she read a part of it to him. And he said something started going inside of me like this. And he said, I cried out, oh, God, save me. God saved him right there. Hallelujah. There are some fires burning over there in Pennsylvania where this call came from. Fires sprung up. And so they called. It was probably 9 or 10 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock when they called me their time. But they called his wife's brother and his wife and told them what had happened. They said, we want it too. And so they led them to the Lord. Then these people, his wife's brother and her husband, Bill and Jolene were their names. And they said, I want you to be sure and get their names right, because when you pray, we want you to be sure they're right when you tell God about us. So then they said, these folk got a hold of their three teenage children and said, we found God. Jesus is alive. We found something that's real. It changes. And the three children gave their hearts to the Lord. All like mine. It's like a dry powder. Boom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are flames around the world. All that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, the letters that come. Nearly everyone say, I have read. Just finished reading the book. And something happened down inside. The telephone calls has come. Hallelujah. God is at work. God is at work. These are fires that God is building. I felt this morning with what's happening and God proving again that his interest in families was not a one-week campaign. It was not a one-year campaign. It's the desire of his heart. And it has always been there at his heart that he wants families, that he loves families, that they're important to him. Praise God. Praise God. When they read about the families, this was the thing that caused the stirring. And it's happening. It's happening everywhere. We had word of a family from Washington that the children were all grown away from the Lord. But now there's only one. We step call this week regarding this, a very, very important need that was met. We know the family well. God is doing what he said he would do. And I want you to keep expecting, knowing that God is on the job. Hallelujah. But while God is working, the enemy is working. And you can think of many, many, many homes that are aching today because the enemy has driven a wedge between the husband and the wife, between the parents and the children. God's plan is restoration. And I believe that we can be like these people of the early church. We can be flames of fire that can push back the coldness, the icy hands of the enemy. Hallelujah. And help see that God's work is not. Can you believe that? God wants us to be so alive and so on fire that we can get his job done. We received a call this morning. A pastor's wife, been in the ministry for many, many years. Some of you would know them. I cannot tell you their name. Was given in confidence. But her husband told her yesterday, I don't want you for my wife anymore. I'm going to leave. And it crushed this woman. She could hardly stand it. She called for prayer. I told her to have her husband call me. And I made statements similar to this. I'm not going to let this thing happen. I may have some hurdles, but If it happens, it's going to happen against a lot of pressure. It's not going to be an easy thing to walk out. I know this man, and I'm going to let him know. I think too much of them to let it happen. I feel a fire burning in my heart to rescue and spare people from these hurts. Praise God. And you probably know some that have very similar needs. But I feel that today, as families, now there's not one person in this room today, but what has been sent here by God Himself. You have been selected to hear this message. And you people that have come, you've heard all of these states represented here. God brought you here to send you out a glow, to begin little fires wherever you are. God is on the job, that He is moving in a special way, that He's not angry anymore, that the fire that now that God is beaming into the world is not the fire of judgment, but the fire of His glory. And judgment is reserved, it's held back. God is not angry with this world, with men and women. He loves them, and He's not going to lay down and surrender men and women to the enemy without a chance. Thank God for the fires. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God brought you here. Some of you wondered why you were here. You're here because God wants to turn you into a literal blaze. He wants your face to glow with a light that's turned on inside, like Philip's face. Praise God. Not just two or three people. This congregation, this building is packed with people. But I do not believe there is even one that God does not want to use, because no two of us are going to be touching the same lives as we leave this place. God wants us to be a blaze for Him. The world is aflame. We're hearing these reports. There's such an eagerness to hear what God is like and to feel the touch and the flow of the Holy Spirit. I know that I'm not going to be able to take very many of the calls that come. I'm taking some. But they're coming, and there's a cry. Oh, what? This part of the country, this church, this city needs a blaze, a fire. I believe that God may be bringing preachers together in various places where He can, or believers. When I use the word preachers, I was thinking more of people that He can minister through, including preachers, bringing them together where they can get a hold of this truth and have their hearts kindled and a new flame starting. But I'm receiving these calls in just a couple of weeks, probably 3 weeks. We'll be going to Lake Charles, Louisiana, and also to Beaumont, Texas. Lake Charles, Louisiana will be a civic auditorium. In Beaumont, Texas, the next night will be a municipal auditorium seating 7,000 people. Think that hunger is so tremendous. By the way, I speak of Lake Charles, I think of Brother Morris Plotz. The letter that we received from him stated that Dr. Myers, who was with him, who had this severe nervous problem that caused him such a loss of weight and caused that his eyes to be troubled, and even to the point that he couldn't even touch hardly the hair in his face or his head without a tremendous pain. He gave the name of the affliction, but a very, very serious affliction. Brother Plotz said that when this man stood on our platform, and they were here, God healed him completely, and he has never seen him so alive. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said he's really setting fires around in his part of the country now because of what God did for him. It's happening, folks, around the world. While it's happening now, we do not want dying embers. We don't want our lives to be a spot where a fire burned and is smoking for the Lord, because there are so many, many lives that need what God has done for us. And people across this country, whether you like it or not, I am not the only one that's going to come in for ridicule, criticism, as Stephen was here. You are too. Don't stand back and try and argue and lure yourself to argue their type of arguments, but instead, let God ignite you so that that radiance, that spirit within you is so great that you can't resist. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I just feel like bringing this service to a conclusion by remembering the importance of these messages, especially that message of how much God loves people. Those who hate Him, those who would silence the voice of a gospel record or a television gospel program or the radio, those who would shake their fist in God's face, God loves them so much. God loves them like this man brought us to Himself. Hallelujah. If we could somehow seek and feel with God, we want to do this today. I trust that this whole building, for a few moments, will become a great prayer room, right in the presence of God Himself, where fires are kindled and rekindled, where a smoking wick is again fanned into a flame. For this is what God said He would do. He would not quench that smoking flax, but would cause it to flame again. And if somehow the fire in your life has gone down to a low ebb, let Jesus cause it to flame again. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone in the building to stand right now. And those who may never have known Jesus, you're here. God wants you to reach your hand out, slip it in His. You're going to become flames for Christ. There may be some that would feel a need of special prayer. You'd like to come up by the front here where we could minister to you and pray with you. But I would like for husbands and wives especially to join hands together. I'd like for you to, by this act, by your prayer, ask God to build that wall around your family. That the enemy, while God is working in His love for homes, the enemy would not be able to undermine and to hurt the families of this church, of families who are living for God. I would like for young people who are here, who may be unmarried, I would like for you to join together and pray for friends that you have, families that may not know the Lord just yet. Remind the Lord about them. Some of you are here. You're maybe the only member of your family that knows God. Join with somebody. Remind the Lord of that family. And we're going to see the continuing work of God, because God has this feeling in His heart for families. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to pray right out of your heart. I want you to thank God for each other. Build that wall of faith. While you're praising the Lord, I'm going to ask Brother Charles Slaughter, who is here, to come to the platform, and he's going to lead us in prayer. He's going to pray especially for this minister and his wife, but he's also going to include every family that's here and those loved ones of yours that are represented. God is on the throne. Would you come, Brother Slaughter? Right now, would you lift your hands toward heaven? Everybody through the building, let's worship Him. Let's thank Him. Let's praise Him. Lord, how we love You. How we praise You for this privilege. Thank You, God, for the many, many families represented here, for Your love for them. Oh, God, breathe upon them today.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We know, Lord, that you're coming for the kind of a church that you founded, a church that was on fire for you, the church that was kindled and alive. God, today, make us that kind of a church. Make us that kind of people, alive with the fire of the Lord within our hearts. Glory be to God. Lord, for those who do not know you as yet, Lord, right now, as their hands are lifted, would you not reach your hand out and grip theirs? God, may every state feel the impact of this service today because of those who go back and bring fires to their communities. Hallelujah.